At lunch today, I overheard a couple of girls saying that Holly is having a sleepover Saturday night. So this could really be the opportunity of a lifetime for me. Tonight at soccer practice, Mr. Litch told everyone the position they'd be playing in the first game on Sunday. Mr. Litch told me I'd be the shag. And that sounded pretty cool to me. So when I got home, I bragged to Roderick about it. I'm the shag. I thought Roderick would be impressed, but he just laughed. He told me that shag wasn't actually a real position on the field. It's just a kid who chases the ball when it goes out of bounds. Then he showed me a rule book with all the soccer positions, and sure enough, shag wasn't in it. Roderick is always pulling my leg, so I guess I'll just have to wait until this weekend to see if he's telling the truth this time. Sunday. Remind me to never go to a sleepover with Rowley again. Yesterday afternoon, Mom dropped me and Rowley off at his friend's house. The first hint that I was in for a long night was when he walked into the house and there wasn't a kid there who was older than 6. My second hint was that everyone was wearing their karate gear. The whole reason I even went to the sleepover was so we could all sneak out and crash Holly's slumber party. But Rowley's friends were more interested in Sesame Street than they were in girls. All those guys wanted to do was play a bunch of dopey party games, like Blind Man's Bluff and that kind of thing. I could have been playing Spin the Bottle with Holly Hills, but instead, I spent my night trying not to get groped by a bunch of first graders. Rowley's friends played some other games, too, like Freeze Tag and Twister. I excused myself to go upstairs when someone suggested we could play Who Licked Me? I tried calling Mom to pick me up, but she was out with Dad, so I knew I was stuck at this kid's house for the night. At about 9:30, I decided to just go to sleep and get the night over with. But those guys came into the bedroom and got into a massive pillow fight. And let me tell you, it's not easy falling asleep when a sweaty little kid falls on you every 5 seconds. Eventually, the kid's mom came upstairs and told everyone it was time to go to sleep. Even after the lights went out, Rowley and his friends stayed up, talking and giggling. They must have thought I fell asleep, because at one point a bunch of them snuck up on me to try and pull the hand in a bowl of warm water trick. Well, that was enough for me. I went downstairs to sleep in the basement, even though it was pitch black down there, and I couldn't find the light. I'd left my sleeping bag upstairs, and that was a mistake, because it was freezing in the basement. I did not want to go back upstairs and get my stuff, though. I just curled up in a ball and tried to conserve as much body heat as possible to make it through to the morning. I think it was probably the longest night of my life. When the sun came up this morning, I found out the reason it was so cold in the basement. I was sleeping right by the sliding glass door, and some fool had gone and left it open overnight. That really stunk, because if I knew there was a way to escape last night, I definitely would have taken it. When I got home this morning, I went back to bed until Dad woke me up and told me it was time to go to the soccer game. It turns out Roderick was right about the shag thing. I spent the whole game pulling balls out of the brambles, and let me tell you, it wasn't a whole lot of fun. Our team won the game, and afterward, we were supposed to go out to celebrate. Dad couldn't stick around, so he asked Mr. Litch if he would drive me home afterward. Well, I really wish Dad had asked me what I thought about that idea first, because I would have just gone home with him. I was starving from all that digging around in the bushes, though, so I figured I'd just go with the team. We went to a fast food place, and I ordered 20 chicken nuggets. I went to use the bathroom, and when I came back to the table, all my food was gone. But then Eric Bickford dumped my nuggets out of his big, sweaty hands. If you ever wanted to know why I don't like team sports, there it is in a nutshell. After lunch was over, me, Kenny Keith, and Eric got into Mr. Litch's car. Kenny sat in the back with Eric, and I sat up front in the passenger seat. We had to wait a long time because Mr. Litch was sitting on the hood of his car, blabbing away with Mr. Boone. After we'd been sitting there for a while, Kenny leaned forward from the back seat and laid on the horn for about 3 seconds. Then Kenny jumped back in his seat, so when Mr. Litch turned around, it looked like I was the one who honked the horn. Mr. Litch gave me a dirty look, and then turned back around and talked to his assistant for another half hour. On the way home, Mr. Litch stopped to do about 5 errands. He wasn't in any hurry to get them done, either. And get this, Kenny and Eric were mad at me for making them get home so late. So that should give you a feeling for the type of intelligence I'm dealing with here. Mr. Litch dropped me off last. On the way up the hill, I saw the Snellas out in their front yard, and it looked like they were trying to get some clips to send in to America's Funniest Families by bonking each other with softballs. I guess they don't feel like waiting around a few months until Seth's half-birthday party. April. Thursday. Today was April 1st. Every other day of the year, you couldn't drag Roderick out of bed before 8 a.m. But on April 1st, Roderick always wakes up early so he can give me an April Fool's punch. Someone seriously needs to explain the concept of a practical joke to Roderick, because all his jokes involve me getting injured. Last year, Roderick bet me 50 cents I couldn't tie my shoes while I was standing up, and I totally fell for it. And while I was bending over, he shot me in the butt with a paintball gun. I went inside and told Dad. Dad didn't feel like getting in the middle of a fight, so he just told Roderick to pay me my 50 cents for winning the bet. Roderick took 2 quarters out of his pocket and threw them on the ground. But obviously, I didn't learn my lesson, because I bent over to pick them up, and pow, he got me again. At least I put some thinking into my practical jokes. Last year, I pulled a pretty good trick on Rowley. We were in the bathroom at a movie theater, and I convinced him that some random guy standing at the urinal was a professional athlete. So, even though the guy was still, busy, Rowley asked him for his autograph. And today, me and a couple of other guys pulled a good one on Chirag Gupta. We decided it would be pretty funny if we made him think he was losing his hearing, so we all made sure we talked real quiet every time he came around. Like, did you catch the big soccer match last night? Yes. Quite a game. Chirag figured out what was going on pretty quick, and he went straight to the teacher to shut it down before the joke could get out of hand. I guess he didn't want a repeat of the invisible Chirag joke from last year. Friday. We had our second soccer game tonight. Some adult volunteered to shag the balls, so I got to sit on the bench for the whole game. It was really cold out, and I asked Dad if I could go get my coat out of the car, but he said no. Dad said I needed to be prepared in case the coach decided to put me in the game, so I had to just tough it out. I wanted to tell Dad that the only time I'd be stepping foot on the field would be when Mr. Litch made me pick up all the other kids' orange peels at halftime, but I just kept quiet and concentrated on not letting my shin guards freeze to my legs. Every time Mr. Litch called a huddle, Dad made me get off the bench and go join the rest of the team. Have you seen a game on TV and wondered what the benchwarmers were thinking when they stand in the huddle while the coach goes over the game plan? Well, now I can tell you firsthand, because all I thought standing there was, P.U., you sweaty guy smell. Once the sun went down, it got really cold. In fact, it got so cold, Mackie Creevy and Manuel Gonzalez went and got sleeping bags out of the Creevy's car. And Dad still wouldn't let me go get my coat. During a timeout, we all joined the huddle, and when the coach got an eyeful of Mackie and Manuel, he told them they were excused to go to the Creevy's car for the rest of the game. So Mackie and Manuel got to sit in a heated SUV while I had to sit on a cold metal bench in my shorts. And I know for a fact that the Creevies have a TV in their car, so I'm sure those guys were totally living it up in there. Monday. I have definitely got to start keeping on top of my laundry. I've been out of clean underwear for about 3 days, so I've been wearing my bathing suit as a substitute. Today we had phys ed, and when we changed into our gym clothes, I totally forgot I was wearing my Speedo underneath. Everybody laughed. It could have been a lot worse, though. I have a pair of Wonder Woman underoos that I've never taken out of their wrapper, and this morning I was pretty tempted to wear them just because they were clean. Believe me, I didn't ask for the Wonder Woman underoos either. This past summer, a few of my relatives asked Mom what I wanted for my birthday, and she told them I was really into comics and superheroes. So the underoos were a gift from Uncle Charlie. We had another soccer game after school, but it's been getting a lot warmer lately, and I wasn't worried about the cold. At school, me, Mackie, and Manuel agreed we'd all bring some video games tonight, and for the first time, we actually enjoyed ourselves at soccer. It didn't last long, though. 20 minutes into the game, Mr. Litch called all three of us off the bench and told us to get on the field. Creevy! Heffley! Gonzalez! Apparently, some parent complained that their kid wasn't getting any playtime, so the rec league made a rule that now every kid has to get in the game. Well, none of us had been paying any attention to the game, so when we got on the field, we didn't know what to do or where to stand. A couple of kids on our team told us the other team had a free kick, and that we were supposed to stand shoulder to shoulder to make a shield to block it. I thought the guys on my team were joking, but it turns out they weren't. Me, Manuel, and Mackie had to line up in front of our goal. Then the referee blew the whistle, and the kid from the other team ran at the ball and kicked it right at us. Well, we didn't do a really good job of protecting the goal, and the other team scored. Mr. Litch pulled the three of us out of the game the second he got the chance, and he yelled at us for not standing still and blocking the ball. But I'll tell you what, if I have to choose between getting yelled at or getting hit in the face with a soccer ball, it's no contest. Thursday. After the game last week, I asked Mr. Litch if I could be the backup goalie for the team, and he said I could. It was a genius move on my part, for a couple of reasons. First of all, goalies don't have to run laps and all that stuff during practice. They just do individual goalie drills with the assistant coach. Second, goalies wear different uniforms than the rest of the team, and that means Mr. Litch can't put me in the game when it's time to block free kicks. Our regular goalie, Tucker Fox, is the star of the team, so I knew there was no way I was going to see any playing time anyway. These last few games have actually been kind of fun. But tonight, something bad happened. Tucker hurt his hand diving after a ball, and he had to come out. So that meant the coach had to put me in. Well, Dad was really excited I was finally getting some real playing time, and he came down to my end of the field to coach me from the sideline. It's not like I really needed it, though. Our team kept the ball on the other side of the field for the whole rest of the game, and I didn't even touch it once. Even though Dad was standing on the side saying, "Make sure you bend your knees, Greg." I think I know what Dad was up to, though. When I used to play T-ball, I had a really hard time concentrating on the game. Tonight, Dad just wanted to make sure I didn't get distracted the way I used to get when I played right field. See, I used to love to blow the fluff off of dandelions. "Quit playing in the tulips," Dad used to say. So I have to admit, it was probably a good thing that Dad stayed on my case tonight. There were about a million of them down at my end of the field, and in the second half, I was starting to get a little twitchy. Monday. Well, yesterday we had another soccer game, and luckily Dad wasn't there to see it. We lost our first game of the season, 1-0. Somehow, the other team got the ball past me in the last few seconds, and they won the game. So that ruined our perfect record. After the game, everyone on my team was in a sour mood, so I tried to cheer them up by reminding them, "It's just a stupid game, right, fellas?" My teammates thanked me for being positive by pelting me with orange peels. Back at home, I was nervous to tell Dad about the game. I guess he seemed a little disappointed, but he got over it pretty quick. He asked me, "Did you bend your knees?" And I said, "Mm-hmm." But tonight, when Dad got home from dinner, he looked really mad. He plopped the newspaper down in front of me on the kitchen table, and there was a picture on the sports page of me puffing at dandelions. The caption read, "A blown opportunity. Red Sox goalie Gregory Heffley takes a break from the action as a 50-yard kick by Demon Dogs midfielder James Byron rolls in. The score ended the Sox bid for an undefeated season." To make matters worse, Dad found out about the paper from his boss at work. Okay, so maybe I didn't tell Dad all the details of the game. In my defense, though, I didn't really know what happened until I read about it in the paper myself. Dad didn't say a word to me for the rest of the night. If he's still mad at me, I just hope he gets over it pretty quick. Twisted Wizard 2 finally came out today, and I'm kind of counting on Dad to float me some money so I can get it. Friday. Tonight after dinner, Dad took me and Roderick out to a movie. It's not because he was trying to be nice, though. He just needed to get out of the house. Remember how I told you that Mom got on an exercise kick a few months ago? Well, she quit after her first class. Dad took a picture of Mom decked out in all her exercise gear the first day she went to the gym, and tonight the pictures came in the mail. The photo place gives you duplicate prints, so as a joke, Dad wrote "before" and "after" on the two pictures of Mom and put them up on the refrigerator. He was pretty proud of himself for coming up with that one. But Mom wasn't so amused. So, I guess Dad felt like maybe it was a good idea to put a little space between him and Mom tonight. We went to the new movie theater that just opened at the mall. After we bought our tickets, we went inside and gave them to the usher, who was a teenager with a crew cut. I didn't recognize him at first, but Dad did. He said, "Your ticket, sir." I read the teenager's name tag, and I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Lenwood Heath, the bad teenager who used to live on our street. The last I saw him, he had long hair and he was lighting someone's trash on fire. But now, here he was, looking like he just graduated from the Air Force or something. Dad seemed really impressed with Lenwood's new look, and the two of them struck up a conversation. Lenwood said he's been going to Spag Union Military Academy, and he's just working at the movie theater for spring break. Then Lenwood said he's trying to get good grades at Spag Union so he could get into West Point. And all of a sudden, Dad was treating Lenwood like his new best friend, which was really crazy, especially considering the history between the two of them. Anyway, Dad kept chatting away with Lenwood, so me and Roderick just got our popcorn and went in the theater. And it wasn't until halfway through the movie that I realized what was really happening. If Dad saw how military school could make a man out of a juvenile delinquent like Lenwood Heath, then it wasn't a stretch to think it could make a man out of a wimp like me. I'm just praying Dad isn't having those thoughts. Right now, I'm pretty concerned. Because after the movie tonight, Dad was in the best mood I've seen him in for a long time. Monday. Well, it's just like I feared. Dad spent the whole weekend reading up on Spag Union, and tonight he told me he's going to sign me up. Here's the worst part. New recruits have to report on June 7th, when I'm supposed